talking about?
Sure.
Even 30 minutes.
Buying Togetherathon, and I will go ahead and tweet this.
Yeah, I think I tweeted earlier. I've been sort of sitting here for some hours, just kind of cogitating over this. Actually, I've in the... and I also wanted to check the chat. I went ahead and I'm simulcasting this on, in the usual place, but there's nobody in the chat. Okay, fine. I've just got that up on another computer. Anyway, gosh, who are we? Where are we? This is Vance Stevens in Abu Dhabi. Ah, sorry, Abu Dhabi Emirate. I'm in Al Ain. I live in Al Ain. I just got to say Abu Dhabi so often. Talking with Jeff LeBeau over in Busan, Korea. And, we're going to talk about a couple of things tonight. We sort of, this is April 20th, 2014. That's an almost significant date. It's significant because it's a Sunday. On Sunday, we try and have a Learning Together event. We're usually successful at it. But 2 days from now, EarthCast, Earth Day happens. And the EarthCast, what were they calling it? The Earth Bridges people are scheduling an event that starts about noon GMT, I think. They don't seem to have much going on in the morning, but noon GMT being their morning over in the Western Hemisphere. And they're going to broadcast a bit. You know, they've got a schedule up. We can talk about that in a minute. We're hoping we can attract some participants in that broadcast here. We gave them the opportunity to come and talk it up if they wanted. But anyway, we'll show some URLs. I've been cataloging the links they've been posting over at my other website. And anyway, Jeff, we're going to talk a little bit in the interim while we're waiting for people about the new project that you've started, you and Dave and Jen and John.
Okay. First, hello. I don't know if it's a new project or a revived project, but the old EdTech Weekly gang, who together it's Dave Cormier and Jennifer Madrill and John Schinker and myself had done 200-ish EdTech Weekly webcasts, and it kind of lost steam a couple years ago and kind of just faded away and stopped doing it. We've maintained sort of our social contact via Skype group chat. Oddly enough, we don't use Skype for anything else, but we still have our old group chat there. So we tease each other and update each other and share links there. And a few weeks ago, Dave said, okay, I have an idea to bring EdTech Weekly back. And he said, what if we just kind of crowdsource the process of tossing out an education-related question, and then we just get together every week and share all those crowdsourced answers and maybe chime in with a few thoughts of our own. So that was sort of the plan. But honestly, it was more of a, I think we were all kind of missing the weekly routine of getting together and chatting.
Are you always doing it on Sunday at, I think it's about midnight GMT, isn't it?
That is correct. It's on the cusp. And in terms of GMT language, I always, like, it's actually Monday, right? If it's at midnight, it's Monday, right?
Midnight.
Like, 11:59 is still Sunday, but midnight is Monday, right?
No, because noon, 12 o'clock noon, that's Monday. But midnight, I think, is Sunday, because I don't know.
If it's 12 o'clock and 0 seconds, is that Monday or Sunday? We should know this. If anyone knows this answer, we should know it.
Well, if you check out learningtogether.pbworks.com and go to the schedule, you'll see that it's listed as 23:59 Sunday.
Right. Right. To avoid
ambiguity. Yeah, but it is it's kind of an odd one, isn't it?
And frankly, I'm a little bit frustrated that GMT now does daylight savings time, because GMT isn't GMT. There's GMT sometimes, and then there's GMT. Like right now in Greenwich, it's not GMT.
You mean in the place itself, which the clocks in England, which go forward and backwards according to daylight savings. But yeah. Their clocks go forward and backward, but GMT stays the same. right? It's always their GMT plus one or...
Which is why I prefer UTC. I find UTC to be more consistent because there's GMT and then there's GMT plus one kind of thing that I've gotten you confused.
Explain that to me. What's the difference between... I mean, I've read... I can't really understand. I mean, GMT to me is equivalent to UTC. Explain this to me.
It is half the year, I think. Let's go to timeanddate.com and check it out.
Do a screen share.
Will do.
Okay, these conversations can go just any direction. Turns out we're going to figure out what's... You know, you'd think we'd know this, you know? UTC.
You'd think. All right, yeah. So I'm going to...
I mean, we're the experts in this. We should know. And
that's
I
right.
Think...
If we don't know this, how can we expect other people? So, all right, this is right now time. It's
okay.
Midnight in South Korea. So, what time is it GMT? Where's our GMT time?
UTC, and it has GMT in parentheses. I think I saw that. Oh, I have to make that big. Okay. There we go.
All right, but that's because right now, is it daylight savings?
I actually don't know. Look up London. What does it say about London? It's too small to read.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bigger now. Okay.
London is now 8 hours behind us, but
1600.
We're at GMT plus nine.
Yeah, so London is GMT time right now. Oh, because you've got it. Yeah,
but it's like let me go ahead and change this to UTC instead of South Korea.
There's some explanation there about UTC and GMT, but
So UTC is midnight, and London is 1 a.m. That's not right. That should not be, you know.
No, right now in London, it should be 1600. You had, I think it was. Oh, there we go. Here's an explanation. But I think GMT stays steady and fixed, as does UTC. What are you reading there? You have to read it to us because...
UTC is often called GMT, although the term is used on occasions for UTC1. UTC is also the time broadcasts Zulu time.
Yeah, I think it's the local times that go different. It is a bit confusing. I was reading on... the guy who does the cephalopod blog, Jason, what was his last name?
Robertshaw,
Jason Robertshaw, yeah. Okay, so in his website, he says the time is Eastern Daylight Time in Florida, and it's your responsibility to figure out your time worldwide. Oh goodness.
Okay, so I'm sorry, that was quite the segue, or quite the non sequitur or tangent. Yeah. So we're getting together. We've done it, we did an episode zero where we just got together and said, okay, what are we doing? And we decided we're gonna show up the next week and see what happened. And so this tomorrow will be day number three, week number three of showing up and seeing what happens.
Yeah, well, I actually watched the first two, so just especially to figure out what it is you're doing. I like the way you're organizing it. People can post their questions in Twitter at EduQuestion, which is the Twitter account you've started, and you can also tag EduQuestion. Does that work in? I guess there's a tag in Twitter. I know you're using it in Google Plus.
The tag is working. We're kind of telling people to post anywhere. There's a Facebook page they can post on, or Google Plus community, or if they use that tag in Twitter, we'll find it. And so far, it's the second week we got a bunch of questions, which was actually quite nice. The part where people answer it kicked in a little bit, but not quite as much as originally envisioned. And I don't know how well that actually, like, how do we properly convey the answers that were community generated? We're still figuring that out, and we're still figuring out how best to house all of this. If do we want to centralize in any way, if we want to kind of encourage this community discussion, and it's okay for them to take place in separate places, but we're also likely to revisit a lot of the same or similar questions again and again, so it'd be nice to have a navigable archive of what we've talked about, what we're going to be talking about, what the different responses were. And so we've talked about Google Docs, using edtechtalk.com, and we're still figuring that out. But in the meantime, we enjoy getting together once again every week. And the other thing we're doing differently this time is after 30 minutes, we're done, officially. Mm-hmm. Which forces us to kind of get things in. We're still figuring out how to make the most of that 30 minutes, and probably always will be. But that, so far, that's been some of the most common feedback we've gotten. So glad you guys are back. Glad it's only 30 minutes. So we don't know if we should take that as a compliment or not, but
yeah, I've noticed a lot of podcasts are kind of keeping it down to 30 minutes or so. Well, The Guardian, for example, has some very interesting podcasts, and they like to keep them to 30 minutes. Well, of course, they have a lot of them, but yeah, that's not a bad idea, really. In fact, that's actually why I think maybe if nobody comes in another 15 or 20 minutes, we should probably just put this one in a nice little cameo as well. But as you know, I've been a longtime fan of the World Bridges Network, and I listen to EdTech Crew a bit. Do you know them in Australia? They talk about you. Lately they really like your show, your shows, and your communities, and they kind of wish it were still back in the heyday, you know, back in the, because a lot of the, apart from Paul Allison, there's just been a lot of them have just kind of stopped. How many are actually going right now?
21st Century Learning is back active again. That's Arvind and Alex and Vinny, and Jennifer makes an occasional post with the instructional design work she's doing. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the only ones we've seen in 2014.
And Teachers Teaching Teachers, of course.
Paul's. Yes, they're the juggernaut, yeah. Man. They just keep going.
Yeah. Well, it's one thing that seems to have died, at least to my knowledge, is a good podcatcher. You know, a good juice doesn't work anymore. Of course, Google Reader stopped. But I don't really have a means of anything but cherry picking. Or do you have a suggestion?
And I still hate iTunes. The other thing is I have finally gotten back into podcast listening a lot because my commute changed from 10 minutes to an hour and a half. Uh-huh. And so I've been listening to a lot more podcasts, which has been good. And I agree. There's no simple podcatcher that I like. What I wind up doing is using Feedly, and Feedly, I have a folder, which for me replaced Google Reader. Mm-hmm. And it's light, it's simple, and I will, it's Sunday night, so I've got a bunch of listening I need to do tomorrow, and I just go to my little podcast folder and scroll down and right click download mm-hmm. the ones that I want. And then I much prefer to transfer them to my good old Galaxy S, where it's just a simple file transfer, as opposed to using iTunes, because I also have my iPad. Yeah. And the syncing, maybe I'm a moron, but I always find it burdensome to just transfer the files I want from my computer to my iPad.
There's another thing. I was listening to EdTech crew, and they were talking because they're both working. They both advise schools on how to use their iPads. And it's kind of like they let slip, you know, that iPads are really good for people who have things they want to do, keep things simple. I want to do this, I want to do that, you know, especially when working with students. But one of them said, if I want to get any real work done, I use a PC. It was almost a slip. They, oh, what? You know, I can't believe you said that. But I, that's kind of the way I feel. I'm using iPads now in school, and I find them kind of sexy, you know. The students like them. The students seem to get on with them quite well. But, you know, let's take Dropbox, for example. It's really hard to manage Dropbox on a PC, and there's so many operations. Suppose you want to, if you've got videos or pictures on your, you know, the what they call it in the iPad anyway, you know, when you or in the iPhone, when you where you keep your pictures on the Apple devices, you have to click on each one and email it separately, as far as I can tell. Is there a workaround for that? You can't just batch.
You can't multiple select?
Maybe you can. Maybe that's what I need to do.
I think it's like a hold and let it highlight, and then you can select others.
I'll look into that. There are quite a lot of things that... Oh, I've got Windows 8. That one's really driving me up the wall, too.
Yeah.
It's turning out that to do little things like launch Paint, Notepad, things like that, you got to get a video tutorial to teach you how to do it. Then, of course, once you've learned how to do it, it's okay, but... you know, just the idea that there's so much hidden there. There's so many Easter eggs that you get hungry looking for them.
You'd think as versions progress, things would get easier, but that doesn't. And another issue I've had with the iPad is when there's a version update for the operating system, things become very different. Or like my battery all of a sudden started dying with the latest version update. And I had to go find out why it was and go into the settings and disable certain things or to kill apps, change the way that it worked and stuff. So I think some people's brains just think in the Apple way. Maybe they've been there long enough that they just have an intuition for it. I don't think I do. But thank you for mentioning the EdTech Crew podcast because, you know, I was subscribed to them, but I believe they must have changed their feed or something because it was empty. And so now I have a whole bunch of stuff to listen to tomorrow.
Yeah, they're pretty nice. I like listening to them. They're informative and they're frequent, and and they're kind of funny, so they're fun to listen to. And they also interview some very interesting people. So they're worth listening to. You know, you kind of pioneered webcasting, I think. Well, or would you webcasting sort of?
That's what we called it at the time.
Yeah, but it was different from other webcasts because you would always include people. That was the really interesting thing that you guys did. You always included other voices. You got conversations going. It wasn't just you talking, and you know, including the other people is what really gave you that life force. And I wonder if there's some way that with your new leaf that you've turned over, you had Carla in your second broadcast. That was nice. It would be kind of nice if you could somehow. Well, of course, you're doing it in a Hangout. There's plenty of space. I mean,
Oh yeah.
Theoretically, you should be able to get people to come in. You know, join you. But it'd be good if you could. When you were doing the EdTech Weekly, you were doing it in Hangout, the same way, right?
At the very end, but most of EdTech Weekly was pre-Hangout.
Yes, that's right. So it started out as being kind of a set show, where I suppose people might call in or Skype in, or how were you encouraging people to join you in the days of Skype? They just got on and you brought them in.
We would, right. And like when Dave and I started EdTech Talk, it was much more, not guest-oriented, but other people would get, we would have guests a lot and we'd bring people in more. Once we started EdTech Weekly, we'd sort of have substitute hosts sometimes, but we didn't, I mean, I still dragged people in as much as I could, but because our format was kind of self-contained more, we didn't get as many people involved. And so I'm always glad, like you say, to drag people in.
Yeah, it might be something you might want to overtly, you know, as long as you're getting this going in a different guise, you might think about your roots and see if you can, you know, jazz it up with as many people as you can.
And I think this format really lends itself to that because we're out, you know, people are asking questions and we're trying to answer them. So the more we can get people who are actually asking the questions and people who are providing answers, I think the more substantive the conversation will be.
Yeah, by the way, Vanessa Vail was online just earlier saying that she was going to join us. Did you see that?
I saw her post, and then I believe there might be an updated one somewhere.
Oh, okay. Well, it was disappointing. She was a participant in the RISO 14 chats.
And, RISO 14, and I believe she was even before RISO, she was a Coolcaster. She was, I believe, tuning into Coolcasts, which was like, what was it? What was the MOOC that it was involved with? Like, it was a summer.
Oh, yeah, the Coolcast. That's right, yes.
With very slow bandwidth, but I believe she's upgraded.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and toss this Hangout link into the community. Oh, you already did, but she said that was a bad link.
Oh. Really? It's the one right at the top of this. Well, we toss it in and see what happens, if it's the same one or a different one. But when she was, I was, you know, I've been interacting with her for a long time, and it's been, it was really nice to see her come on, you know, and she said that she had, so I think when you were cool casting, were we doing that in Hangout? Was that one of the first Hangout?
Yeah, that was right when Hangout was breaking. Mm-hmm. Those were some of my first Hangouts, I think.
Yeah.
And Benjamin also commented there, too, and Benjamin has been a great, he's been asking questions and answering questions as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of an odd, awkward time for me, unfortunately. It's 4 in the morning, which, believe it or not, it's about the time I have to get up. But yeah. I don't know if I can hang out at that time, but I might surprise you one of these days. But anyway.
Interesting. We're getting another bad link. I'm going to go ahead and invite Vanessa and Benjamin if I have the power.
Really? Okay, I'm going to have to go over to that. Oh, well, anyway. Yeah. Well, I'm not finding the... Oh, here we go. Vanessa has a message. Yes, well, she's interacting with us right now. Yeah. Okay, she's out there. That's cool.
So for some reason, in the Hangout, there's a little invite people, and that wasn't working. So I went to our text chat and tried to add them there.
Well, that link I put in is the one, I'm checking it now. I believe it's the one at the top of the Hangout that we're in right now. Why would it not let people in? Oh, okay. You've put the event page. You've given the link to the event page. She says that's a bad link.
The event page would be a bad link, or that's a Hangout on Air event. I just copied it from the top.
Yeah, that's what I did, and it's always worked before.
Interesting. Hey. Oh,
there she is.
Vanessa.
How did you do it? How did you do it?
I wasn't working. I went to our text chat.
You might want to turn us off on the video page.
The stream. Yeah.
Or you'll get too much of us. Too much of us is not a good thing.
Yeah, you got to go to the webheadsinaction.org/live and mute the video or switch it off. You don't need it anymore. You're in the video.
Okay.
Yeah. Nope. Still there.
You put the event page. You give the link to the event badly. The event page.
It's in the stream that you were listening to. Were you watching it in YouTube? Yeah, whatever the video that you were watching before, how are you keeping track with us and interacting, listening to us? You can just stop that one.
You might want to turn us off on the your page. Too much of us. Too much of us is not a good
thing. It'll be the... Yeah. Got it.
I think it worked. Hello, Vanessa.
Well, hello.
Hey.
Pleasure to virtually meet you.
Yes, at last, after all this time. And actually, I first came across Vance back in the late 90s through, he's the one that got me started with StudyCom.
Oh, yeah. Study.com.
Yeah.
With what?
Study.com.
Study.com. Yeah.
Oh. I still do a study group there and run a help board.
Oh, that's nice.
I think Dave and I are the only ones left anymore.
I've written about him.
Once in a while we're there.
That's cool.
I think I attended one of the Hawaii things. That was the first conference I went to virtually.
Uh-huh.
You know, they had the
colleges.
Yeah. PCC. And you did a presentation on you did something on StudyCom, and I had been looking for a way to pick up some experience with online teaching. Because something told me, none of my colleagues in comparative literature agreed with me. They thought I was kind of silly. But it seemed to me like it was going to be something that would be a coming thing. And that anybody teaching needed to know more about it. But there were no courses at Davis at the time. And I thought, well, you know, I'll learn how by doing.
Okay. And how's Benjamin?
I emailed you and asked about StudyCom, and you sent me... you know, contact information for Dave. So I wrote and I looked up the stuff, and there was supposed to be teacher seminars and teaching, you know, a teacher workshop that never really quite materialized over the years. So I emailed him and said, I want to learn how to teach online, and he sent me back 100 email addresses.
There's your class.
English. Yeah. I think I emailed you back again and said, what do I do now? And you said, I think it was just when e-groups had just been started.
Yeah, that goes back there. Well, now it's just a MOOC. You start a MOOC. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Now we know how to do it.
Yeah, well, now we've got the bandwidth and the tools and the stuff. But the thing is all that we're still using now. I mean, the approach.
Hmm.
I actually met one of my students from the first class I taught for Dave, the StudyCom, in a MOOC last year. Taking a MOOC. Former student. So that was cool.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, yeah, it's a small world, isn't it? And when you realize how far back we go and, you know. Yeah, from the study.com is where Webheads began.
Mm-hmm, so, I remember. And yeah. I've been on the edges of that, but most of the time being out rural, I just haven't had enough of the, I haven't been able to support, up until now, I haven't been able to support the software.
Hmm.
But you finally got better connection out there?
Yes, well, there was better connection if you could afford it. If you were one of the, as Mike Davis calls them, one of the SoCal exurbites. Rural Mountain Air has somewhat become a SoCal exurb, and there's a gated community outside town that's largely populated by people from San Diego. And they can afford the more expensive bandwidth, but now it's gotten a little bit... Well, I'm just now finishing paying off the modem in installments.
Hmm.
But it's gotten more affordable. We really badly need in this country for the less populated. But it's not just rural, but it's also an inner city problem too. Access, affordable access.
They've been talking a lot about that on democracynow.com, and it turns out that Comcast and its band of merry robbers are
and
communities have been installing fast bandwidth themselves, and they get shot down. The people who make the laws who are in Comcast's pocket find some ways to ban that kind of activity or not license it. So, that's
the,
really
the connection
pathetic.
Looks pretty good south of the border with Benjamin.
Yeah.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Great. Good. I wanted to ask a quick question, kind of changing the subject just a little bit.
I've got a question. I've got a question preview. It's about what we've been talking about so far. So go ahead.
Yeah. About Edu Question, the program that you're working on. I was thinking about, I don't know if you've thought about coming up with some sort of wiki or some place where you can create a map or some sort of matrix where you can, as you produce the shows, post different questions and even have a place where people can go match people with questions and answers. And as you are having these short weekly discussions, have a place where others can go and add information so they could, match up these questions and answers. And I'm even envisioning like links to different communities and, just a place where these questions can appear, and it maybe not so much the answers, but even just people who have strengths in those particular areas might add either their links or just certain types of information that might help lead to certain answers. I don't know what, and maybe you've talked about this and already, but have you given any thought to having some sort of online presence where this information might be mapped out in a way that not only you, the participants of the Hangouts, contribute to, but perhaps opening it up to others as well?
I certainly have, and we started discussing it last week. I don't know if it was in the post show or at what point, but how do we, we realize we're going to have sort of this core of questions, and a lot of them are just variations on the same question. So how do we not only archive, but host these questions in a way where we share the discussions that we've had so far and link to related materials? How would you like to appear on our next I Have a Question in 9 hours and ask that question?
Yeah. Sure.
All right, you're hired, man. Yeah, because it could be a wiki, it could be Google Docs, but what technology is best suited to, not technology, but what environment can,
or the design of the layout, and it wouldn't even necessarily have to be. I mean, I think it's going to be a continual work in process, but the idea, I think, maybe just to start posting something and then just kind of see how it materialized. Maybe at first, just have a few people maybe contribute to the design of it until you get kind of an idea about what it really needs
have you seen anything that makes you said, oh, that might work for what they have in mind?
As far as technology?
As far as, sites or, someone had mentioned, Benjamin Wilkoff is doing something with Google Docs. I think of, traditional forums, and I run sites with forums, and, someone will ask a question, and there's a discussion, and then a couple months later, someone asks the same question, and then they link back to that other question, and, what's the best way to sort that out.
Nothing to me personally comes to mind as far as technology, but the first thing that really resonated with me when you started with this idea, it was the possibilities of linking not so much answers, but people, trying to connect people. And I think if whatever it is, I mean, it could be a Google Doc. For me at this point, at least in my thinking, the technology is kind of a side thing. It's more like how can you connect these people that might either have possible solutions or are just interested in the conversation? And it could be participating in the conversation within the Hangout, or more importantly, could extend beyond the Hangout in some, you know, subsequent discussion somewhere else. But the idea is that you have this place, this space, where you can upload and have, and I'm thinking kind of a matrix type of thing here, where you, because this could also help you as the planners to see, okay, what have we talked about in the past? What could we talk about in the future to kind of cover a wider scope of general topics, so not to repeat the same, you know.
And if it's the kind of thing that could breathe on its own, you know, where we could say, oh, this week there's a lot of action over here in this part of the matrix. And, you know, it'll be a question that we've probably kind of talked about, but it'll be a slightly different branch of it, or there'll be some new input.
And that same matrix, that same space, going to Vance's point, you could also encourage others, if they wanted to participate in the Hangouts, it could say, okay, this day I have a couple of things I would like to talk about or pertaining to this particular question. I mean, it could be a place where you can help organize to say, okay, who, what are the questions for that particular week? Who has something, you know, to say, and who is just willing to, you know, have an interest, or they have an interest in the topic, but maybe not wanting to actually participate in the Hangout. I mean, you know, you could have kind of a matrix to kind of outline that dynamic and say, okay, these are the people who I, you know, and this is how I would like to interact with these people in these certain ways. And if you could create a space that facilitated that process, I see great potential in a lot of, you know, how you could take this, I think, to a different level. But I don't know exactly how this would look like. I can't really envision the exact, you know, the design of it, but I think that the idea that if you can try to connect people through this process of questioning and answering and dialogue, I think that's the key. I think, you know, I think for me personally, is what attracted me to the idea when I first initially heard it.
Yeah, the thing that I think about when I think about that kind of thing is Stephen Downes' RSS Hopper, Grasshopper, GRSS Hopper, that he uses to put together the dailies when he was running amok. And that's such a cool idea. You know, I got to talk with him about it one time because we were doing something with the tag writing matrix, which he pointed out, well, how do you keep that from getting spammed? We were lucky we didn't get it spammed, but the way he does it is in order to participate, you have to register with Grasshopper, and then he will then send the spider out to ferret your blog and aggregate tags and that sort of thing. So that would be a way to do it. And because you'll never find a space that you can draw people to, but if you can reach the people in the spaces that they already occupy, their blog posts or whatever, however, you know, this is the way the MOOC does it. You're basically running a MOOC. You've got thousands of people, hopefully, you know, tens of thousands interacting around your space, you know, on these questions. And I don't know, what do you think? Does that model sort of...
Well, Downs.ca runs on that, right?
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
I want to visit a topic there on OER, and I search for OER. Like, I'm not sure how much it facilitates. So I get a list of OER-related articles. But it's almost like, have you seen Visual Thesaurus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love the way how, like, you click on a word and there are the associated words with that.
Mm-hmm. So that'd be
I almost feel like I want something like that on a conceptual level. like this is a question and these are related questions, and then have that component of here's resources related to that aspect of the discussion. I don't think it exists, but that's what I want.
If you're going to organize something, you almost have to have people tagging, because you know, you could say, well, okay, we're going to talk about OER, you know, and if you want to comment on this post, you have to tag it OER, and the way, and you could put it in a map like that of some kind. Maybe you could use a Poplet variation or something. I don't know.
Anyway, yes, go ahead. Martin Hoxley.
Yes.
He did one for the Twitter map for in Rezo 14.
Uh huh.
Maybe you could do something like that with tags. That's the thing. If you got the thing would be to be able to capture tags showing up everywhere. Sometimes if you search tags, they'll show up from different places, but not from all of them.
Yeah, that's the idea. His script, I think, finds the people.
Be a little bit more convenient. It also gets more intrusive.
Well, I know I'm not an expert in Google Drive, but I know Google Drive has scripts that you can. You know, you can pull in information from hashtags, and you know, that might be a possible solution.
But there's a limit to how much cross-platform the hashtags will be. I mean, if you try just garden variety searching, you'll see them come up from a variety of places. But then you also look at the results, and if you're around the web in different places a lot, you'll see, oh well, it's not catching from others. It's best at catching from Google areas.
Like it's Google, Twitter, Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Now, Facebook tagging is very disappointing, I find, as is much else on Facebook.
But if you want to organize a topic on Facebook and you find a tag for it, then you can pull up all the posts on that tag, which is kind of interesting.
But if you click the tag, it doesn't pull up all the posts.
Well, I don't know. It's worked where I've tried it, but I haven't done a lot of extensive work with it. So,
the only thing that going to go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Next thing you have, but then you the problem isn't necessarily. I don't think the big problem is searching the tag so much as getting everybody to tag with a reasonable consistency. And when you're dealing with people who aren't used to tagging, they come up with some strange things.
Well, that's folksonomy, but that's really the only way to do it, you know, to get people to do that kind of...
Keep nagging.
Well, you can also just use a taxonomy, where there's a limited number of options, and when we need to expand it, we add to the taxonomy, right? As opposed to folksonomy, which is open-ended.
Yeah, folksonomy, you have no rules whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Vanessa, sorry.
Yeah, I tried to tag both folksonomy and if I didn't stumble over a syllable, and taxonomy when I tag for bookmarking, because one part of tagging is for other people to find it, but the other part is for me to be able to find, say, narrower topics. I don't want to, say, take a common tag and pull up what is by now, since the 90s, late 90s. Well, no, I lost on most of my earlier bookmarks because they weren't in the cloud. But since I've been putting bookmarks in the cloud, it's like thousands, because I've also set everything so that I get bookmarks for all my tweets and posts and this and that. And I've got a lot of duplications. So if I take a common taxonomy tag, I'll pull up a lot of stuff. It doesn't filter enough. But what I find is if I've got a special project or an area I'm working in, it might be a tag I only use for a fairly limited period of time. The problem there is remembering what it was and why it made sense to you at the time. But I'll use I'll use one for me and one for the public. Does that make sense? So I'm sort of combining the two processes?
Yeah, that's the nice thing about tags. You can tag
what you want.
Use as many tags as you want. Yeah, so...
Now, on Twitter, you run out of space. Fast.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah. But as far as what they're talking about, setting up a community which is discussing topics, people are likely, as they do in MOOCs, to go out to reflect in their blogs. They're not likely to come to your space and work in it. They're much more likely to stay in their own space and do their reflections. And so the neat thing about the Stephen Downs' scripts for RSS is it goes out and finds their work, you know, based on their tags, which is the only thing I've seen work. I think David Warlick had something. In fact, actually, he was on he was talking about it on one of the EdTech Talk channels. Hitchhiker? Was it called Hitchhiker? That he was trying to assemble tags on people's conferences.
I'm sorry, was this David Warlick?
David Warlick, yes. Uh-huh. Is that what I said?
Yeah.
And I know what you're talking about. I don't know if the name was Hitchhiker.
Yeah,
or not,
it no longer exists, but you can still find the blog post where he described it. But it was also an effort to get people to a nice script that worked for a while. I don't know why he dropped it, but any event, you know, it's something actually I've been thinking about that is really lacking in our field is some kind of script writers who can do that kind of thing, who can say take the problem that Benjamin is describing and then write a script that will do what we want it to do.
Because Grasshopper does a good job of aggregating the content, mm-hmm. and Drupal could do that. There's a bunch of things that can aggregate content, mm-hmm. but to create a navigable space for interaction, you know, and like Wikipedia at least has sort of the talk page, you know, mm-hmm. so you've got sort of this source of collaboratively produced information, but then you've also got the discussion about it all there.
Any of you familiar with Gordon Lockhart's comment scraper for MOOCs?
No.
Yeah, he's been in a number of them, both CNX for short. But he's a retired physics lecturer who writes code for a hobby, and he's actually the originator of the. By now, I'm surely well-known MOOC cow. That's sort of shown up on a lot of blogs and pages. The funny-looking thing that's taken from a Mexican artist's. But anyway, he's written a scraper code for comments, so that if there's a discussion going, you don't necessarily get all the full comment. But when the discussion gets going on a blog, if he's scraping it, then you can kind of subscribe to the updates and see where there's a conversation going on in case you want to join it. Now, it doesn't do all blogs. I think he branched into Blogger. He started with WordPress, branched into Blogger. He's done scraping for Rizzo 14, the first 6 weeks. Nobody thought to ask you to keep on doing it. and the human factor again. And he's also done scraping on some large Coursera MOOCs too. So he's got kind of a fairly good idea of although there's not that much blogging on those. But you might want to get in touch. Well, let me go find his page.
What's his name?
Gordon Lockhart.
Gordon Lockhart, okay.
I'll be right back.
Yeah,
I was just thinking though a place, because as you accumulate all these questions, a place that others could go back and reference and find other questions that have already been asked, because so you're not duplicating the same questions all the time, and something pretty simple, not necessarily a way or a central location where everybody's interacting. I'm not really suggesting that, but just a general space where others can kind of see what's been asked and what's coming up and any other related general information that might link to those particular questions, but I don't know.
But it's got to be collaboratively produced, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
I mean, I can't imagine any one person doing this. So it's got to be something like
that. And that's where I think if someone wanted to, like, talk about something on a particular Hangout, then this would also be the place to indicate that and just put up, you know, information about themselves other than, you know, you're using the hashtag, but just a place to potentially interact with others outside of the Hangout. So, I mean, there's two things here. There's the Hangout element, and then there's the potential of interaction outside the element, which is there. So this would have to try to facilitate both of those areas.
Yeah, and they fuel each other. And I think you're right. I mean, I think for this thing to really work, there has to be that component of it. Because if it's just us showing up, rambling about what we normally ramble about without sort of that foundation of this community discussion before and after, I don't think it's going to have that much legs.
Yeah, and that's where you can make a difference. You know, you can take these ideas and run with them, you know. Since you've reformed, you know, you can kind of take these ideas on board. So these are good questions for your next couple of 30-minute sessions. Yeah. How can we do this? That's a really good question.
So Benjamin, can you either post that in our wherever you want to post it?
Yeah.
And I will tell them that I have a question.
Yes.
Benjamin has a question.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how long we want to go. Jeff, are you...
I should probably start stepping out because it's coming up on midnight and I have a webcast in 9 hours and some stuff I have to do between now and then besides sleep.
Yep, exactly. Me too. I'm sitting here with my wife who's off today. She teaches in Abu Dhabi, but she teaches at a school where they actually celebrate Easter. So she was off today. So I should probably spend some time with her, although I had to work. But anyway, it's been great talking to you.
I may see Jeff later.
Yep. Yeah, I look forward to it. Yeah. So, yeah. And I will be seeing Benjamin as well.
Great. Thanks, guys.
We might just mention that in 2 days, EarthCast is happening, and this will be archived at learningtogether.net, and all the stuff I've put together with the links to that are going to be there, and also some links to... Jeff and Dave's and John's and Jennifer's I have a question Hangouts 1, 2, and 3, which is about as far as I'll be archiving.
Mm-hmm. We'll see if I can send some local internet users over for Earth Day. I do community blogging in addition to this, a lot other stuff, and every year I try to say here's some stuff out here to get interested in and what are you doing, and it's not much doing, but at least I keep reminding that it's going on.
So yeah, at the learningtogether.pbworks.com site, there are links to the schedule and there's also earthbridges.net. I think that's where you can also find this information, the schedule. And those colleagues of yours could just go to the schedule, find a time slot, and sign themselves in. It's not that busy this year. So they'd love to have you.
Maybe besides the locals, maybe I can send over a few reluctant academics as well.
Yeah, right. There's also a link to an article that Sheila Adams and I can't remember, Matt Montaigne and who else was there? Believe. Oh, come on. Here it is over here. Okay. Who else was in that article? Looks like, anyway, we wrote it. Jose Rodriguez, of course. We wrote an article about our 2012 experience, I think. We wrote it in 2012. But anyway, it was about how we collaborated on EarthCast. It's been something I've been involved with. I've personally enjoyed. But the last few years, it's been on a weekend day, and we haven't been able to do anything with it. And now I'm in a situation where the scheduling is all messed up, and I never know from one week to the next what I'm going to be doing. So that's really why I haven't been able to come up with something for the week. There hasn't been a situation where I could prepare for my students to join it, although I have done that with them in the past. So if I could, I would, but this is my contribution right here. Just kind of trying to talk it up for them.
Well, as always, a pleasure to connect. I look forward to Earthcast, and I have a question number 3, and who knows what else coming up. But I'm going to say goodnight from Korea.
Thanks, you guys. Oh, by the way, can I just ask really quick, what was the problem that you couldn't, and how did you crack it to come into the Hangout?
Me?
Yeah, both of you came about the same time, and you both said the...
Jeff, I think, finally sent me a specific invitation. That's what you have to send people invitations for Hangouts.
They can't
just come, they can't gate crash. You have to invite them.
Well, there might be something with, but I said this is public, and it's always worked before. We just send the...
It's public to watch. It's like read only.
No, it's been, I've always...
Google Hangouts, though. Now your one on the other place, you can go in and join that way. But for Google Hangouts, you have to send an invitation.
I'm going to let you guys sort this out, and I'm going to say goodnight.
Good morning.
Okay, thanks, Jeff. Really appreciate it. Okay,
I didn't get the invitation either. I didn't get until I received the link in the event, the Google Plus event. Which in the past I've always received invitations automatically and was able to get in, but for some reason this time I didn't get any type of notification.
I posted to Till. Did you see that?
I saw the event. But okay.
I think the Learning Together link would have brought me in.
I posted there as well. I posted all the places I usually post.
Yeah, well, what it was is I was this morning I was operating out of this. I was checking mail in this account where I saw the Google Hangout one coming up. And instead of going back to the other account and looking for the link there, I just tried to get in from here. One can be too distributed sometimes, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a great tool, and we're learning how to do it, and that's why I asked. I would like to, you know, get in your feedback, and we'll see what works and what doesn't, and improve the situation next time. But I certainly appreciate your coming along, joining our chat.
Finally!
Yes, good for you. We're all learning. We're all figuring it out. So thank you very much. That's Benjamin Stewart in Mexico and Vanessa Vale in Mountain Air, New Mexico. And nice to talk to both of you. I'm Vance Stevens in Aline, United Arab Emirates. This is the 20th of April, 2014, and I'm signing off. Hi. We're learning together, Earthcast. I have a question, and Till. So anyway, talk to you guys later.
Bye, guys.